Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hi everyone, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com. It is currently Friday, March 26, 2021. I am here, Benoit from Geneva, Switzerland, and I am with Tim Osman, if you want to speak up.
Hey, what's up, Benoit? Yeah, this is Tim Osman, just hanging out in the live stream room. What is the topic today?
Well, I figure that there is only one topic that is concerning the whole universe at this moment, and that will be the coronavirus. But I don't get much to say about that specific point. I just wanted to have a general chat about the state of the world and not specifically the loss of liberty that we all experience right now.
Okay. And where is the audio from this being broadcast?
Well, it will be released as an MP3 file when Fakeologist has the time to get it compiled. So it will be yes, I'm sorry, go on.
I've been getting the archives, and so I was just curious. And then he's live now, and having it mirrored over at the Dark Matter site.
Okay. So it is, of course, broadcasted live, but it will be also released later on. And everything, as you mentioned, is on the archive.
Cool.
Which are quite extensive, by the way. There is probably about more than 800 episodes, as it is now. So probably every topic in this universe has been covered right here at one point. What I did notice is that there is the shootings are back. People are starting the shooting back. So it's not really that the shooting has started back or whatever. It's just that they are publicized now. So apparently it's a new thing. It's back.
Right. Well, okay. So what is your opinion on the most recent two shootings that have been publicized? Have you noticed anything about them that stood out?
Well, the thing is that I kind of stopped giving much detailed interest to them around the time of the New Zealand Christchurch shooting is probably the last one I really gave much interest about because it's getting repetitive and it's always the same thing. It's basically almost always the same thing.
You might find this interesting. The anniversary of the Christchurch shooting is when we had the shootings in Atlanta at the parlors. It was the anniversary. It was the same thing. An attack on a target immigrant population, multiple locations, and the shooter being dragged out of his car after being run off the road by the police. That happened in Christchurch and in Atlanta exactly 2 years later.
Yes. And no one will give much thought about that. No one will really care. But it's the same scenario that is repeating. And I think that it's the same as it is with Hollywood movies. It's just a reboot or a remake. Different actor, different shooting location, but same exact scenario.
Oh, yeah. And the shooter in Boulder called these three events happening the same day, you know, 2 years apart, are perfectly integrated storyline-wise. Same writers.
Yes, same production team, same financial backer, same everything. It's just that, and especially the fact that it happened on the same day, and there was not much of those news in the past year. Everything was corona this, corona that, and maybe this is the sign that slowly the narrative will start to shift toward less corona talk and more day-to-day hoaxing.
Oh, yeah, it's a return to normal that we're having shootings again. And they'll remark on this in the media, ironically. You know, the truth is, it's because they're not able to scare people anymore with the virus. They have to bring something else out. We also have women being snatched, raped, killed, and that storyline is being pushed quite a lot. So, you know, just terrorism as usual. And all these stories have the same hallmark. Bunch of 33-year-olds hanging, getting killed.
Yes, and the fact is that there is no lack of shooting in the USA, and that there never was. I mean, there probably have shooting that implicated five or more people on the weekly basis in Chicago. But it just doesn't get that much attention because it doesn't really fit the current narrative and the truth of actor and everything. So maybe some of the gang shooting, some of the, can I say that, regular crimes are real. But anything else is complete fabrication. Because, yes, I do believe that people are shooting themselves over drug money, over a love relationship or whatever. But I think that the biggest shooting, the one that have that are the most broadcast, are control operation to let them have all the control about it and not have any element that is not controlled.
Yeah, that's true. The media only reinforces pre-existing narratives. And if the narrative doesn't reinforce structural racism and the oppression of minorities, they don't. Hate crimes against people of the wrong color are conveniently ignored, and fake hate crimes against certain groups are treated as real, and if you criticize them, of course, you get censored. So, true. The media doesn't actually care about real criminality. They invent a bad guy, and they into their story no matter what. I mean, they're so quick to call the Colorado shooter nationalist and racist until a few hours later they found out he actually hated Donald Trump and wanted to shoot white people. American way. They everything in racial terms.
Yes, it's something that is totally different from Europe. And we don't give that much thought about race and race relation, but I mean, it's sometimes very interesting to see what can get someone canceled or shunned by the media in the USA. Most of the time, it makes absolutely no sense.
Lately, I've been asking, we can make gender, say, if gender is something that you can decide, we can't decide race. The state decides your race before you're born, but your gender is up to you when you're five. And so, you know, the use of science is very selective by the establishment, really destroyed the term. And they use it to reinforce their ideology, whatever it is. And whatever they do, they call it scientific.
Yes, absolutely. And it's the case with the trans issue mostly. I will say that is the case where the science is the more either ignored or misused to try to establish something that is that has absolutely no basis in reality. I mean, there always was transvestites or people that like to dress as women or anything. I mean, in every neighborhood, in every city in the world, they had one. But he was just a funny guy, and no one gave it much attention, and no one was victimizing him or whatever. He was just the guy that used to wear a dress, and that was about it. And there was never any problem until the media started to give it attention and say that it was something terrible and that those people were discriminated against. But in reality, when there was not that many of them, it was never really an issue.
Right. Well, there's always the case that the status will use any minority group as a smokescreen. I mean, their new victim class, their preferred victim class, is actually the environment. Because they can defend the environment against all men, rich and poor. Whereas their communist ideology, their cultural Marxism that uses minority groups, still defends people, even minority groups. But ultimately, the system itself, I think, is not about protecting any minority group because it's trying to eliminate the individual. That's the real target here. And I think that's really what coronavirus is about. I think it was the elite going to war against individuality. And that's why I think it's so significant that they have removed your face, you know, with the mask. I think it's all very symbolic of collectivism.
Yes. And I also think that it is not really for only for the people that wear the mask, but for each and every child that is born since people have started putting a mask. I think that those kids will show some kind of autistic trait and will have the biggest difficulty to identify human emotion in faces.
Right. Right. That's a lot of information that they're removing from a conversation. When you get rid of faces, facial expressions, tonalities, teachers are having problems hearing their students. And I think the idea here is they replace micro expressions that are individualistic, universal emoticons. And that's
yes.
really what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. And there was this TV show, I don't know the name of it, but there was this TV show about this guy that was reading faces back in the days. My girlfriend used to watch that. And that show is a thing that cannot happen right now. You know what I mean? Like you said, half of our faces is totally obfuscated and no one can really see the our mouth when we speak or whatever. And also the fact is that for people that are using sign language, reading on lips was a big help. So also for them, it's more difficult.
There's a movie called Equilibrium starring Christopher Bale.
Yeah.
Kind of like...
Excellent movie.
Where they say, human emotions are the problem. They censor all culture. They ban emotions.
Yes. And they destroy everything that can provoke an emotion inside someone normal. Like they are burning paintings and books and everything. And I remember that at one point there is a scene where the guy is at the dinner table with his kids and his son is saying, I saw my friend Martin mom crying. I think I will report her. And just because she was crying, she's taken away from her family because she showed an emotion. And maybe that's something that we are going to slowly move toward.
I mean, hate crime versus crime. But what's the difference? You know, there is no difference. What they're doing is they're creating a perception that the emotions are somehow different in the way this guy stabbed that person and it matters. But what they're doing is, I think, is they're kind of getting people used to the idea that there is this thing called hate that needs to be eradicated, that needs to kind of regulate emotions a bit. And recently, a number of Amazon employees have quit because they're the truck drivers are having to subject themselves to biometrics goes up, or they're road raging, it gets reported. And to me, I think that's what we're looking at here, regulation of not just our speech, but our emotional states. It's getting really kind of toxic, and they're really making this happen.
Yes. And I think that hate is not really the baddest of emotion. I mean, if you hate a specific group just because they exist, it's totally stupid. But it's a defense mechanism, and it has to be seen as it is. It's just that we fear what is different, and sometimes we hate it, but it's not as bad as it's make out to be, really.
Well, I think that the idea of hate is... things where it's up to the individual. You know, you choose how you feel about something or whether you accept something or not. But they want the state to dictate your responses to everything. So you have to accept whatever they say is acceptable. And what they're doing with COVID is getting rid of choices. And that's one of the things they've done with shopping, where they're trying to get people to get out of the shopping experience, going out there and choosing between brands on the shelf, browsing through stores, being replaced. And I think that's all getting rid of this notion of for a choice and getting people used to universal basic income, universal needs, size fits all.
Yes, and also it is kind of on the tune with the...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yes, I was saying it kind of take from the sensory experience. I mean, you cannot touch your clothes, the fabric of it. You cannot even, I don't know, smell the leather of something you are about to buy. I mean, it's just an impersonal experience when you just pick something on looks and looks only.
Well, look at the transition of society where the atheists, the ones who are only faithful about science, the ones who believe in the virus, which is like sin, they've become very puritanical. PPE is like religious garment. Hand sanitizer is the holy water. again, it's a religious transformation. But if you know, pagans have always been associated with nudity, and covering up the body is a religious kind of a repression necessarily, but an imposition, you know, different standards, like covering your hair in some religions, washing your hands a certain number of times a day. Anyway, all these different religious practices that are meant to moderate man's nature, the pagan out of him, that's what I'm seeing being reinstalled under the guise of COVID-19. And the inoculation, in many ways, I think, is really the communion wafer, showing that now you're being integrated into the new religion. You're not just a heathen anymore. You're not one of these impure people of the world. You've been saved. So, I think this is a major overhaul of society, and it has all the trappings of a religion.
I agree with you. It's kind of they give you the anointment, and you are physically part of the community, not only in spirit, but in flesh, too.
Hi, guys. Sure. Hi, Tim.
True.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, what's up? We're joined here by Fakeologist himself. Good to see you.
Good to see you and hear you, et cetera, et cetera. Bonjour, Benoit. Comment ça va?
Bonsoir. I'm doing great.
Fantastique. I will be going on the air at about 8:30, in about half an hour, Tim. Am I going to be transmitting live on your station or delayed?
Yes, in fact, that's why I'm here. I'm going to be simulcasted on darkmatter.radio, so I'm going to just send out an email blast, post it on Facebook, and try to get as many people to jump on the live and listen in. It should be easy to promote, just darkmatter.radio, and it will be playing there and on all of our video platforms.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, that's great. I better make sure I'm back in my studio on time. I'm just out and about getting some fresh non-COVIDian air. And I thought your breakdown of the super whatever PSYOP in Colorado was great, because I didn't watch 1 second of that when it was on 322. So I get all my information on these from you. So I have nothing to compare it to.
That's why I do it. People believe so much news they don't see. And it's like, let me just give somebody some synopsis. Hey, this is a repeat on the anniversary of Christ Church. This is a retaliation of Christ Church. And it's all production and has all the hallmarks. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. It's not even a cult.
No, you're right. It's so out in the open. I'm really glad that you're doing the breakdown of it, because I don't have time to listen to anyone else, because up here in COVIDia land, we are under lockdown. They're really smashing Canada hard. I just watched a guy who's running for mayor in a city in Canada. He got arrested for trying to buy a bar of soap, and he got assaulted by the store manager. He did a citizen's arrest, but the police arrested him instead. So this is what's happening up here. It's really, we don't have time to watch the U.S. hyper-realistic drills portrayed as real fusion events, because we're too busy getting harassed up the yin-yang up here.
Right. Well, it seems like they've kind of gone lax on the COVID enforcement here, and the shootings have just come in fill in the blank. And one of the things that was said at the Boulder shooting by most of the press witnesses is, oh, well, they were just over there to get their COVID shots, and they got an AR-15 shot. Like, they really have made that transition.
I heard that line. I said, I like your dry sense of humor. Whenever you drop one of those, I pick up on it right away. I think they're great.
We're reverse engineering some real ridiculous nonsense, and it's an insult to our intelligence. But, you know, it's like the best I can do is try to offer up a methodology. You know, like, why isn't anybody applying direct pressure wound? I mean, there are so many valid questions to be asked, and I hope that listeners are becoming more critical, and I'm trying to get people to participate more in the forums, because I think we can create quite a counter narrative, you know, building presence here.
Yeah. Well, the only problem, like I have a forum at fakeologist.com/forums2. It's a second forum. I have an initial WordPress type forum. And now I have what I like, the PHPBB forum. I like the layout a little better. Plus, you can use an app on your phone to interface with it, which you cannot do with WordPress. But most people love the Discord. And the problem with the Discord is if Discord, which is going to be sold to Microsoft, if you ever wanted to know what their business plan was, that was it, allegedly $10 billion. So not bad for slapping together a virtual talk and text forum, if you ask me, pretty good payday. If they don't like you, they just flush your whole server. So the Fakeologist server was flushed a couple months ago. So all that information that people put in there is gone, which is stupid.
Wow.
So I tell people, don't waste your time putting all your research into the Discord. Put it on my site. At least I can back it up. I'm not going to take every piece of research, manually transpose it and transcribe it onto a non-destructible forum. But people love the colors and the ease of use. It's really hard to get people to go to the other forums when they Discord is so easy. And that's how the tech companies get you. That is their modus operandi.
Well, my work around here, my way of integrating it, because, Discord, you throw down your research and it gets washed away by other posts very fast. And so what I do is I'll just take the best posts that represent a topic, and I'm just basically copying and pasting into the forum, the public, and I'm sharing it. So I'm kind of using Discord as the think tank where everybody's brainstorming and putting in their information. But I'm trying to use the forum as a permanent record. And if I can get 10 or 15 people involved, should build itself over time. I'll let you know how it develops, but like you said, we're dealing with a very slick site, and they have something of a monopoly. And I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed, though, to see Discord going that direction.
Well, if you're going to, the only way you can make big money in tech is you start a little company up. You try and grab as many users as possible. And when it's at its peak, or when you think it's at its peak, you sell it to the guys that are flush with cash, and then you run away with the money. And then if everyone disappears from your product, you got the money. Doesn't matter. So
yes,
I
don't think that the company was going to make money anyway. I don't think that is the goal. It's the same with Hollywood movies. It doesn't need to make money back. It's an operation that is designed for something, and as long as it's reaching its goal,
it
doesn't need to produce any money really.
They're honeypots. What they are is their energy sinks. They take everyone's attention and their energy, they funnel it, they concentrate it, and then they flush it down the memory hole. Brilliant. Like all these people that waste days and hours uploading YouTube videos all day long, and then boom, flush. And they keep going back to their abuser. Please, please, YouTube, flush my channel. I just spent 5 hours uploading all my videos, and in one simple keystroke, they push it all down the memory hole. It's crazy.
It really is. In fact, I was just talking to Benoit about the movie Equilibrium, where they're destroying culture and eliminating the ability to even have extreme emotions by eliminating all stimulus. Anything that might stimulate emotion, they take away. And I see that happening here. Anything that might trigger somebody anywhere, they burn it. Conscience. That's the thing about it, too. They don't even care.
They create the triggering events, though. All these triggers, they're trying to incite people. They're the ones that start the fire, and they just hope people will jump on. All these events are started by the intelligence agencies, the culture creators. They start all the fires. They exacerbate all the fractures. None of this is organic.
I was kicked off Twitter for a joke. I made a joke about how the nanobots in the chemtrails would make you susceptible to demonic possession. And I labeled it satire. And it got flagged for dangerous misinformation. I appealed it and I said, it's a satirical joke. I'm calling nanobots satanic. And Twitter decided to reiterate, no, this is dangerous misinformation. And they kicked me off for 12 hours as punishment.
Oh. I'm kind of lucky that I have almost no followers on Twitter. I've been on there for 8 years, same account. I believe I have about 16,000 tweets, which are mostly automated. And I only have 400 followers. So that to me tells me that either everything I put on there is deadly boring, or it's unsearchable, or it's shadow banned.
Shadow banned.
Yeah.
Shadow banned.
Crazy.
You have to be. I mean, yeah, that's the way Twitter runs. I mean, I've never been able to pull in more than 1,000 subs. And I get this all the time from people, but I just try to build a network, hashtag, and I try to be inflammatory, and I always target my messages at celebrities and crisis actors and astronauts or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like a mission.
I probably don't hashtag enough. Maybe I did a bit of TikToking, and I was told by the young people around me I don't hashtag properly. You got to hash it up, baby. Otherwise, you won't be found.
Yeah, exactly. People wonder what the significance of it is or why it matters. The way I look at it is the internet, imagine it as maybe a stadium full of people having conversations, and you have something to say. Well, the only way you're going to reach the people who want to hear what you have to say, find that group, and you don't have time to listen to every combo. So you just look at the hashtags that they're holding up. And if the hashtag relates to your topic, shooting, if you say anything with that hashtag, they will hear it. And then also use hashtag searches.
Yeah.
That's really the only way I think you can get a lot of raw media is hashtags, real-time searches on Twitter. And even that's always shady because you don't know if the guy filming it an agent or an authentic witness.
But how many times do you click on a hashtag on Twitter or do a search for hashtag? Because I go to Twitter and I just read the timeline, my timeline, and only occasionally I remember, well, hey, I'm interested in this hashtag. I'm going to click it or search it. So how many people just go to Twitter and start searching or hashtagging right away?
That's how I don't even search my own timeline. I don't even know who I follow. I just go straight to the hashtag and I type in shooting latest or Elon Musk SpaceX latest. And that's where I get the most relevant content from the most number of people. So I kind of use Twitter as just a news aggregator more than anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I find, and you're way more advanced than me finding new platforms, but I find my brain is so fractured with all these websites. I forget sites. I don't go back to sites. It's just overwhelming. I've got about 25 Telegram groups that I follow, and they all fill up with thousands of posts. It's just insane to keep up.
Yeah. You know, someone sent me a link to something called Ghost, and they said, this is what you've been looking for. This is the platform. Consolidate everything together for all time, uncensorable, decentralized. But whenever that happens, I'm going to share it with everybody. I'll find out the ultimate formula. But, you know, we're very fractured time, and that's just what it takes.
Yeah. Well, I looked at Ghost when you said so. I think it's a pace. I don't want to give anyone any money if I can help it, just because why would – I actually pay for Feedly, which is a great RSS aggregator. I like, there aren't too many free ones that do synchronization, so Feedly is a pretty good way. I actually bring YouTube and Twitter into Feedly, so I can keep track of, so I don't miss any of the YouTube posts from my favorite creators. And same with Twitter, because I know people I follow, they post, but they get buried in my timeline with commercials and nonsense, so I miss a lot of their posts. So I just use the Feedly RSS aggregator to bring it in that way.
Cool. Well, I'm with you on that. I'm hesitant to commit too hard to anything. I'm happy with WordPress.
Yeah.
It was better on mobile. But SoundCloud is a great file storage system. But the main thing, though, is I think the 24/7 audio stream, I keep that running. It's pretty much untouchable. There's no amount of, they can't really censor talk as easily. They can censor isolated short videos. And so far we've had a pretty good run. with this 24/7 streaming, and I say, and let my listeners say whatever, and I don't expect any trouble in the future, although, like I said, on Twitter, you can't even engage in satire these days. They're just all about censoring words, memes.
I haven't had any trouble on Twitter yet. Maybe I'm not. I'm just not big enough to matter. Yeah, but I put a couple of your, I put your 322 Super PSYOP Day video on FakoTube. I thought that was well worth it. I didn't watch the video. I just listened to the audio.
I appreciate it. And just listening to the audio, you hear it. You're like, what do you mean? You're just going to do it like this. Oh, store 33, 33 employees on the union. Pulling the guy out at 3:30.
Yeah. These guys are unbelievable. They're crazy. Well, I'm going to lose you for a minute, and I'm going to be at my studio at 8:30. So if you want to join, you can. And see you shortly.
Cool. Good talking to you. And I'll be here engaged in a little bit of promotion. I'm going to be sending people from Dark Matter over to listen. So I'll catch you later on.
And I'm still here, and we have been joined by a lot of people. We have Chris, 746, Pars Value, John Lebon, and Ophalus is with us now. So you can speak up, guys, if you want.
One more bit of meta-scripting I wanted to mention with regards to the Boulder, Colorado event. That is the police chief there who was at the press conference. Her last name, and I looked it up, is over there at precinct number something, something on 33 something street. Her name is Joker, S-T, Jokerst. Never heard that name before, J-O-K-E-R-S-T. And the significance there is, we're talking about Colorado, where all the shooters, including this one, are pretty much mental cases. They're Jokers. And her name has meme it, Joker, in the state where the Batman shooting happened. And 322.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Money.
Hey, I just want to take a second to pipe in and thank Tim Osmond for all the great work he does. I'm an avid listener, and it's awesome.
It's been a real great time the last few weeks as far as media criticism goes. It's endlessly entertaining. You know, there's no fear factor in it for me. It's all just more or less film criticism. I feel like this is like a living an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000 with all my friends. We're all captive of some alien force, and we're being forced to watch bad science fiction. And so what can we do to maintain sanity but, you know, ridicule it?
I think it's great. I really enjoy the situation. It has some bad aspect, of course, but it's great. I'm basically living in a sci-fi movie, and I cannot ask for anything better, to be honest. And maybe, and I am an optimistic person, maybe something good will come out of that. Who knows? Anyway, it has been a pleasure to speak with you, everyone, but I now have to leave because I'm working in 6 hours. So bye-bye, everyone.
Is it just me, or did this party completely die? It's a shame. Great shame. What are you going to do?
That's all, folks.